It's a Thursday on the Fan Morning Show.
Yeah, a day closer to the weekend, which means a day closer to Pitt Syracuse, as well as Steelers Broncos. And the Pirates shift from Cincinnati back home to PNC Park to take on the Cardinals. We'll talk to Jason Mackey.
It all gets started at 5:40 a.m. with a pre-show.
I don't think I want to be a day closer to Pitt Syracuse after watching my alma mater Saturday in the fourth quarter against North Carolina. I'd like to leave that one alone, Mac. Don't have a lot of faith in my guys.
Didn't they start a fullback on the interior of the offensive line, you said to us?
Yes.
How does that happen?
The guard was a transfer from Florida who was ruled ineligible, and then I think the other guy, somebody else opted out, and that's what happened.
So we used the fullback a little bit more than
Mike Tomlin did on Sunday.
Fair enough, but my question is more about, like, how does it not end up being maybe a defensive lineman that you just say you are a large human being?
I don't know.
Do the opposite of what we – here, face the other direction and do the same thing you're supposed to do on the other side of the ball.
We're brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealer, ShorkyNorthHills.com. Mark Caboli, Steelers insider, joins us. We got a lot to talk about here with him. Mark, I would love for you to clear something up for us. We just listened to Cam Hayward coming in here. And, of course, he got asked about Villanueva's helmet, and he said – you know, let's have him answer these questions. Ask him, not me. Chris just said that he heard through the grapevine that Ale doesn't want to talk about this. Is that true?
It's in Sean Gentile's story on The Athletic that Villanueva did not respond to an interview request via, you know, through the Steelers. So I want to make that clear. That's verbatim what Sean wrote.
Yeah. You know, to be honest with you, he's the one person that has not spoken to the media since this whole – well, since last year, since December, they've had everybody on Zoom calls from March until through training camp, and every starter, even backups, even J.C. Hassenauer, even James Pierre, other than maybe Chris Boswell and the punter, is the only guy that has not talked.
What's your theory on that, Mark?
Oh, he doesn't like us. No, I don't think that's the case. I think he worries sometimes about what he's going to say. He's a little bit too honest with himself. I don't think he really likes to get into that, which makes it interesting his choice, what he did on Monday night, knowing the situation was, you know, a little bit touchy, that he's, you know, he's so aware of his surroundings. He's so smart and articulate. He knows what's going on. And not to be, how do I put this, aware enough of how much Antoine Rose meant to this area, right, wrong, indifferent, whatever. It's just a little off to me that he didn't know or wasn't aware that this would cause some sort of stir one way or another. I'm all for free speech. I think more people need to do what they want to do. I think we need more middle of the road, speak your mind, and less left and right in all of life. Mm-hmm. But it's just the timing of it to me just seemed strange. Why not wait next year? Why not wait next week? Why not do it some other time? Why not tell your teammates? The whole thing just seems a little out of touch. And it's very surprising to me, knowing that the last time this happened, the thing that really bothered Villanueva was he was politicized to the point of putting him against each side in the political spectrum of using against each other. And it's exactly what happened here, too. And I think he had to know that was going to happen. He had to.
Mark, I think Andrew framed it the way I would want to frame it, though, to start the show. He worried that it might become a distraction that would affect this team in the locker room and therefore on the field this season. You are in that room more than just about anybody, certainly more than I, because I'm never in that room, when you're allowed to be, at least. What do you know these people and as competitors. What do you think is the answer to that question that Andrew posed?
No, I don't think so. I mean, first of all, we're in the COVID situation where he can stay away from us, so we can't, for the lack of better words, go poking and prodding every 52nd person on the roster and say, hey, did you hear what Al did? Did you hear what Al did? And perpetuate this a little bit. It's pretty much, you know, what they give us, how long they give us, and with players. So that's one thing. But as for Al, I mean, like I said, they have a very open relationship. So I'm sure there's, I don't know if it was yesterday, today, or whenever, there was probably some very interesting conversations between some people in that locker room and Al, and I'm sure he laid it out the way he laid it out, and there was good conversation.
I just wonder this, Mark. If I'm a guy, because I don't really – I would not want my feelings in a football game. I wouldn't want people to take my football, my professional career, and then – okay, this is how he feels politically, this is how he feels socially. I wouldn't want anything on the back of my helmet if I were playing. And I'm sure, I'm confident in saying that there's got to be guys in the Steelers locker room who feel the same way. So now, if one of them wants for Sunday against Denver to not have anybody's name on the back of their helmet, shouldn't they be allowed to do that?
I think they should be able to be allowed to do that. But like I said earlier, I think just the sensitivity of the Antoine Rose. I mean, there was there was protest here for a long while when this happened, and it was pretty, not volatile, but it was a feeling of that. So I think you have to be a little bit more sensitive to that. But I think these guys will get together and they'll talk. And what I've learned over the years with that, I mean, you talk, you make your peace, then you move on. And I think what helps the Steelers not let this become a distraction is they can control whoever can talk now, to not let it get out of control. You know, when Le'Veon Bell was every day, hey, Le'Veon wasn't here, what do you have to say? And it just kept going. Yeah. That can't happen now, and I think that will make it end quite quickly.
Mark, what happens at running back if Connor's able to be a full participant in practice this week?
I think Connor will go back. If he's 100% healthy, I think he will go back. Now, you can debate if he should or not, but I think they're definitely going to have to work Benny Snell more into the mix than they originally may have thought. I mean, you can't have a guy who, what does he have, 3 or 4 starts now, and he's been 113 yards, 90-some yards, a touchdown, I think, in Baltimore, whatever it is. He's performed for the most part when he's gotten his opportunity. So I don't know how you can't let him at least have, every other series, or at least more than what it was. I mean, what he really should do is probably give it to him 100% the job right now until Connor proves he can earn it back. But I don't think that's going to happen right now. And, you think about it, if they don't go to Snell and Connor doesn't get hurt, I mean, do they win that game going away? I mean, they ran the clock out pretty nicely in that fourth quarter with a lot of Benny Snell big runs. I don't know if Connor can do that, so... Like I said, I think Connor will return, but surety is a different question.
Mark, how much, in your opinion, are they influenced by just warm feelings towards Connor, the person, because of his story? Because I get the temptation to look at that and say we've got to find a way to be loyal to this guy, but it seemed like you seem to be saying it. It seems like Snell is right now the better back, even if both guys are
Mark
healthy.
Mark wrote that.
Yes.
I mean, Benny's been showing that for, the past couple of weeks, and he's been a different type of running back. I don't think it works that way. I mean, it makes a nice story about, being loyal to James Conner, and, he's gone through some tough times. I don't think that's how it works in the NFL, and I'm pretty sure that's not how it works here with the Steelers. I mean, if James Conner's going to be out there, right or wrong, Pittsburgh Steelers, Randy Fickner, Mike Tomlin and company thinks he's the best opportunity for them to win. They're not going to say, well, we got to give this guy another chance because he works hard. It just doesn't have to work. I mean, on a lesser basis on that, if that still applied, wouldn't Switzer still be around right now because that's Ben's friend?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's way down there, but they just don't look at it like that. I mean, if you can't produce, if you continuously get hurt, you're going to be off this team, and they've cut people in the past, and they'll do it in the future. That's just how it works. I mean, they're next on the line too, so I think if he plays, they're going to feel like he gives them the best chance of winning.
Mark, you created an international incident Monday night. You tipped everybody off to the Ron Cook Zoom call with Ben, and it got huge traction at TSN in Canada, their version of SportsCenter. They ran with it. They laughed about it. It was just hysterical.
Jay and Dan.
Yeah, it was just amazing. What my big takeaway, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this, my big takeaway from that was after a win, Roethlisberger in a good mood, 3 touchdowns, Steelers 1-0. It happens twice with Cook, and I was shocked Ben did not make a joke. I'm shocked he didn't comment on it, which made me wonder, is there trouble in paradise between Ron Cook and Ben Roethlisberger?
There might be. Ooh. I mean, he hasn't talked to him since March, right? The funniest part about this whole thing was is Ron has never been on a Zoom call ever, at least Steelers-wise. Never. We never heard his name called ever. And all of a sudden, the cornerback comes up there, and he gets not one, but twice. I mean, Roethlisberger's made fun of Bouchette a couple of times when he didn't know how to unmute as well. So I think you're correct in saying it's a surprise that he didn't make a joke. But the best part was about 20 minutes after my tweet, I get a text from Ron Cook and said, I wish I could do the Ron Cook voice. But maybe you can help me out here, Chris.
Hey, Mark. Hey, I'm really mad about this. Why'd you have to bring it to everybody's attention? Now the thing can look like a real moron. It's hurting my rep.
He said, I'm glad you're taking joy in my technological shortcomings or something to that effect.
Mm. Oh, I'm glad you're making fun of my technological inadequacies, Mark. Thanks. I'm glad
So let me just make sure I hear this right. So Ron has not paid his dues this year in the conference calls with the Vince Williams and Tyson Alualus and Derek Watts of the world. But as soon as Roethlisberger was made available, he cut right to the front of the line, Mark?
Well, I don't know who's in the Zoom calls. So he could be just on there listening to Vince Williams and J.C. Hassenauer and company. Or he might be looking at the links that they send out. But this was the first time. And you have to understand, there's about 10 of us at the game. And as soon as Bert said, Ron Cook, go ahead, we all just sort of burst out laughing because we knew. Now, I actually texted Bert and thanked him. He goes, what for? I said, for calling on Ron twice. That made my night.
Yeah.
It was great.
Mark, thank you so much. You made our day. Check him out in the Athletic. Mark Caboli, Steelers Insider. Thanks, Mark.
All right, guys.